DNA that has good roots of faith. The 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 3-5. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also. If you go to the mountain called Young Moon Mountain, there is a ginkgo tree. This tree has been there for more than 1,000 years. The height of this tree is about 100 meters high, but it stands well still. The reason for it can be found in its roots. The roots are as long as 100 meters long. It has been said that the power to enable for a tree to stand still is proportionate to the length of the roots. The roots are extremely important. It does not only apply to the case of the trees. In the past, a move called Roots touched the hearts of the people all over the world. There was a time when people tried to find out about their roots and history of their nation. If we go to New York, where world citizens live together, there are a lot of different racial ethnicities. But if we look at their faces, we can almost find out about which country they're from. It is because people have their own DNA, which came from their ancestors. My granddaughter Siohin is 5 years old. When she sees a person, she greets first and starts to chat. When she greets and starts to talk to a person, if she thinks the other person is an American, she talks in English, and if she thinks the other person is a South American, she talks in Spanish. If she sees a Korean, she greets in Korean. I found it quite amazing, so I asked her, "You are so little, but how do you know that?" She told me this, "Grandpa, when I see people, I know." She said when she sees people, she can find out where they're from. It is because depending on the bloodline of the nations, the face lines and skin color are different. DNAs are important like this. In faith as well, there are DNA bloodlines and roots. In Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "So that you, your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God, as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life." Here, three generations come up. It says, "you, your children and their children." It talks about passing down well the bloodline of faith. I am not sure about other things, but we need to be able to pass on the roots of faith for sure onto our next generations. Moses was like that. When he grew up in the care of his mother Jochebed, he completely learnt about faith and the spirit of his people. One day, when there was a fight between an Egyptian and an Israelite, although he was a prince of Egypt, he killed an Egyptian. Why did he do so? He learnt from his mother that he is living as a prince of Egypt, but in his body, the blood of Israel people flows through. The people that are working as slaves and are mourning are your own people. It is because she taught him a spirit of his own people in his heart, and taught him to save his own people in the future. Later, Moses became a leader of his people. He became a great leader that led the Israelites to come out from the land of Egypt. He had a DNA of faith, which he inherited from his mother Jochebed. In contrast, there was an unfortunate event where ancestors could not pass on the bloodline of faith onto the next generations. It was the priest Eli. Although the father was a priest, the verse in the 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Eli's sons were wicked men, they had no regard for the Lord." Eli the father was a priest, but his sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. This refers to a fact that although his sons grew up as sons of a priest, they had no roots of faith. Firstly, they did not have fear of God and committed adultery with the women that helped work at church. Secondly, they took out the sacrificial gifts, which were prepared to be given unto the Lord with the iron hook. They had these first, before the sacrifice was given to the Lord. It was unbelievable. They were very corrupted. In the 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 34, it says, "And what happens to your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will be a sign to ye; they will both die on the same day." Gad decided to kill these two sons. Priest Eli, who could not teach about the roots of faith, he actually ruined the lives of his sons. I have actually seen similar cases like this around me these days. I feel this is something that we should really feel pitiful about. How about your children right now? Are you passing the DNA of faith on to your children well? In your family, are you passing down the bloodline of faith on to your next generations? In a church, a parent is a church pastor, an elder, a guensanim, a well-respected woman at church, regarded as a faithful servant of God. But in family, there is no sound of him singing, no sound of prayers. Happiness has fallen down and the life has been destroyed. Are you not living your lives this way? In faith, our lives at church and outside church should be exactly the same. Roots need to be strong. It is invisible, but if roots get ill, then the tree is bound to fall down in the end. It is the same in the society. One of the candidates for the election for the member of the National Assembly, there is this person. He is a strong supporter of legalizing pornography and treats church pastors that oppose against homosexuality as Nazis. He criticizes Christianity. Guess if this person becomes a member of the National Assembly, which is a lawmaking body, then this society will become a haven for corrupted pornographies and will become like Sodom. We need to stop things like this, which would make this society to be ill from its roots. We need to stop actions which would break and deteriorate the healthy perspectives of our young people. The more our perspectives are confused, as people of God, we need to go back to the Bible more. We need to put the biblical perspectives in the center of our hearts, and based on this foundation, we need to have happiness in our family, run business and do politics, as well as educate our next generations. The main passage of today talks about Paul complimenting Timothy, who received DNA of faith from his ancestors. Paul called Timothy his own son. Like this, Timothy was well trusted and recognized by Paul. Timothy's faith and character did not get molded that way by coincidence. His mother's faith, which she received from her mother, was passed on to Timothy. His bloodline was of faith, and it was referred to as a bloodline of good DNA. That is right. I bless you in the name of Jesus, that you will be able to pass this kind of bloodline of faith on to your next generations. Paul complimented about the good bloodline of faith of Timothy in two ways. Firstly, Paul said Timothy had a pure conscience. Let us read verse 3 together. It says, "I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers." What is a conscience? In Greek language, it is called as shinidesis. It has been said that conscience is a sense and awareness. It has been said that it is a monitoring function, which God has been given to individuals. A function that leads human beings, as per the way the things work, has been said as a conscience. A conscience has been said as a gift from God that enables our hearts to examine the good and evil in our innermost parts. The important thing is that this kind of function of conscience, this can only be found in human beings. Even a really clever animal does not have a conscience. Living according to our conscience is a correct and proper way for us to live. So Paul said, "So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man." Also, there are different kinds of conscience. In the 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 16, there is this verse which says, "Keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." There is a clear conscience. The 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5 says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also." There is a faith called a sincere faith. In the 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 19, There is this verse which says, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. There is a conscience called a good conscience. Paul said that we should hold on to faith and a good conscience. He said, some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. When we try to live by faith, but ignore to have a good conscience, then faith as well gets destroyed. If a faith is all about the relationship with God, then a conscience is all about the relationship with life. Also, the 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 2, it says, such teachings come through hypocritical liars, whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. There is a conscience that has been seared as with a hot iron. A saying, seared as with a hot iron, means that something has been burned. So the sensory feelings have been paralyzed as a result. In other words, a sense that determines between good and evil has been shipwrecked. This society is becoming more chaotic as time goes by. Have a look at brutal murder cases of people these days. Parents kill their own children and children kill their own parents. This has happened often. A few days ago, there was this news article which I saw. A person that really loved his girlfriend cut her finger for not allowing him to be registered as her husband. Since when and how, why has this society become so inhumane? It is because the function of conscience was not at work. The Bible says that this has been seared as with a hot iron. Faith is about restoring the function of this kind of conscience. I will share with you this brief testimony of someone. When our church was just set up, there was this deacon at church. Her husband was a taxi driver. She asked me to come quickly to her and pray for her husband. She said that her husband seems to have been demon-possessed. It was a summertime, but he was trembling hard. He was covering himself with thick linen covers and was uttering himself. When I went over to see him, it was not a work of Satan. The problem was in his heart. I told him this. Does not matter whether you have millions and billions of money, a world which you are not there is meaningless. It does not have any value. If you have something that does not allow you to have peace in your heart, then solve that. The Bible, especially in a book of John, chapter 14, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. When I was sharing this verse with him, he suddenly got up. He went towards his wardrobe and brought a wallet to me. He then told me that 2 weeks ago, he had a passenger in his taxi and left this wallet behind. In this wallet, there was a lump sum of money, which was about worth 12,800,000 wons. He went over to the police office to report this, but decided to hand it after counting it at home. He decided to hand it in the next day and 2 weeks have passed. He then left it in his wardrobe. From then on, whenever he dreamed, he had a dream of being chased by something, and whenever he saw a policeman that patrolled the traffic on the road, he got panicky and suddenly pressed a brake pedal. Then he said that he got ill after. I told him to report it at the police office even now. He went and handed money to the police office. I did not pray for him, but his high fever got all cleared and his illness went away, too. Next week, he came to church and became a deacon. When our consciences are impure, it stirs us and makes us to feel uneasy. It causes our hearts to be troubled. Paul commented on great conscience of Timothy as a pure conscience. We also need to live our lives with pure conscience. Also, it has been said that he had a faith with no falsehood. Let us read verse 5 together. It says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also. A pulse that has breakthroughs the Bible is faith. In Christian life, there is no more important thing than faith. All the work in the Bible happened through the faith. Faith was a pathway. Only by believing Jesus Christ, we get saved. When we go to the U.S., Even though we are good at running, we are unable to go to the US by running. Even if we are really good at swimming, we cannot swim through to get there. Whether we get on the plane or a boat, we get to the set destination at the end. The heaven as well, we go there only by faith. When praying, we need to do it with faith, so we get answers. When worshiping God in worship service as well, when we do it in faith, God would be with us. The core principle of Christian life is about faith. Apart from faith, we are unable to achieve anything. By faith, the world has been created. By faith, people got out of Egypt. By faith, the Red Sea got divided. By faith, people got into the land of Canaan. By faith, sick people got healed. By faith, people wait for the second coming of the Lord. When the Lord was asked to solve countless problems in people's lives, He asked people to have faith first of all. When a blind man asked Jesus to heal his eyes, Jesus asked him, "Do you think I can solve your problem?" When a blind man was asked this question, he answered, "Yes, I believe it." When Jesus said, "Go according to your faith," the blind man was able to see. In this time, I hope you will look upon God with faith. Listen to the Word of God with faith, praise Him with faith, pray with faith. According to your faith, God will be at work. There is nothing that is more important than faith. When Paul complimented Timothy, Paul complimented him for Timothy's faith. But pay a special attention to a part where it says a faith with no falsehood. Then, it implies that falsehood can exist in faith. In falsehood, always, Satan is there. It is because the father of falsehood is enemy Satan. John, chapter 8, verse 44 says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire." He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In faith, there is a false faith. Satan knows first of all whether the faith is true or false. Also, faith with falsehood is about tricking your own self. Whichever reason there is, falsehood is not beneficial for us. When we live our lives as Christians, we lie quite well as well. When things could be found out in a few hours' time even, we sometimes lie. Between a married couple as well, there are people that lie easily to each other. Trust gets broken. Happiness gets broken. It is being tricked by Satan. When a shaman saw Paul casting demons out in the name of Jesus, he told towards a demon-possessed person to get out from that person in the name of Jesus. Satan even bit Shaman up saying, "I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who are you?" We can see that Shaman fled away from Satan. Satan knows first of all whether the faith is true or false. When Paul complimented Timothy, he said he had faith with no falsehood whatsoever. We need to have faith that is sincere and true like the one of Timothy. If we have impurities in our hearts, then the work of God cannot be seen. As we see Timothy, we need to learn to have pure faith, which is 100% pure in the eyes of God. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, where did the beginning of this kind of faith come from? Let us read verse 5 together. "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also." It is a DNA of faith, which he was passed on from his ancestors. Pure conscience and faith of Timothy was not a mere coincidence. Especially we can see that he was inherited faith from his mother's family, where the faith has been deeply rooted. His mother was passed on this faith, which she was passed on from her mother. This has been passed on to Timothy. Timothy's faith was passed on from three generations above him. It was indeed a deeply rooted one. This is a DNA of faith. Like Timothy, we need to be able to pass good DNAs of faith on to our next generations. In our country as well, have a look families that passed faith on to next generations well, especially the ones that accepted gospel in the early days. There are many great figures in the areas of politics, social science, education, culture and so on. How many generations above you have you been inherited your faith from in your family? God needs to be in the center of your children's hearts and God needs to be the headstone of their lives. They need to dream to be successful in God as well. A success achieved away from God is not a success. Since when children are young, they need to learn to worship God as an absolute top priority and learn to honor the Lord's Day. They need to be able to put aside tithes for God and learn to serve others. Let them have Christian mindset since they are young. Timothy was that kind of person. God promised blessings for him so that he would not be the tail but the head in a group of people, and God also ensured that Timothy would not stay in the bottom but in the high places. I pray and bless you all in the name of Jesus that the children of yours will lead and positively influence our society as great figures in the areas of politics, economy, social science, culture, education and so on, so that they will glorify our God. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.